left on the Vikes starter, Eric Clark, who surrendered 3 goals on 8 SFU shots in the period, and the Red Leafs led 3-2 after 20 minutes despite getting outshot 22-8. Eric Clark was replaced in the UVic goal by Ronan Girardi at the beginning of period 2. The Vikes resumed their assault on SFU, but its defense limited grade A scoring chances, and Max Fowle preserved the Red Leafs' lead as the game got chippy late in the period. With UVic and SFU in their respective penalty boxes, with the Vike Reed Fryer for cross-checking and the Red Leafs' Samuel Brown for interference with 4:07 left, SFU doubled their lead just 6 seconds later on 4-on-4 as the UVic relief Ronan Girardi gloved the puck from the backboards into his net as Nick Goyer scored his first. The Red Leafs opened a 3-goal bulge on the Vikes just 30 seconds later on Nathan Braun's second with 3:29 left in the second and ended the period up 5-2 despite getting outshot 15-10 in the period and 37-18 after 40 minutes. UVic made it 5-3 early in period 3 on Lucas Burns' second at 1:41 as UVic pumped shot after shot on SFU's backstop Max Fowle, and the Vikes earned another power play late in the period as the Red Leafs' Brandon Pollock was caught for tripping with 3:05 left, courtesy of Nick Torrin, the SFU Red Leafs' play-by-play man, as the penalty was omitted from the box score. However, Gavin Baines picked off a UVic cross-ice pass to get a breakaway and deked the Vikes' relief Ronan Girardi for a beautiful shorthanded goal for a 6-3 lead over UVic with 2:12 left in regulation, and that was the final score. As the Red Leafs took down the Vikes for the second time this month, despite getting outshot 58-29 on November 28th. UVic were led by Cole Fournier with a goal, an assist, while their starter Eric Clark took the loss after giving up 3 goals on 8 shots, and relief Eric Girardi yielded 3 goals on 19 shots. Meanwhile, SFU were led by Max Fowle with 55 saves for the first star, Nathan Braun with 2 goals, an assist for the second star, and Pierce White with another 2 goals, an assist for the third star, even though the box score has White with 3 goals, an assist as the first star, Max Fowle as the second, and Nathan Braun the third as of last night. Once again, thanks to Nick Torrin for play-by-play for all the info. Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is November 28th, 2025. I'm in the coach's office within dressing room 6 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center, and I'm interviewing
Guido Lombardi-Chatz,
the head coach for the BCIHL Red Leafs, who were badly outshot by the UVic Vikes, 58-29 from what I understand, but still double the visitors, 6-3. First of all, how did the team prepare for the game after an 0-2 Vancouver Island road trip started with a 3-1 loss to the same UVic Vikes?
Well, it was a 4-3 loss last weekend, but in last weekend we lost both games, but I think we made a right direction last weekend. So we had UVic and VIU last weekend, two top teams in the league, and we lost both games, but we kind of, I think we learned a lot kind of playing those top teams, and now we're understanding a little bit more how to play them, keep them more on the outside. Yeah, they outshot us, but it's not that they had too many great one chances. It's lots of the shots came in from the outside, and we know we have a good goalie, so we try to clog up the middle and forcing the game to the outside to bad angle shots. And we know Kermani, John, or even Max, you know, he can make those saves, right? So, but that's something what we talk about the last few weeks, that we actually getting outshot every game, right? That's 50 plus shots. It's a little bit too much, but the thing is, it's not like the defensive structure, neutral zone, and D-zone is actually not too bad. The reason is, like, I mean, I did a little bit of review on video, it's kind of we're losing too many battles. And if you watch closely, even the next games, when we lose battles in our zone, half four or below the goal line or even on the top, it always ends up with a shot on our net, right? And that's something what I... But I think it's kind of the reason we have 14 or 15 rookie players, right? They have to learn to play in this league. And we talked about that in the intermission. So it's not junior hockey anymore. So you're playing university hockey, you're playing older players and stronger players, right? A little bit more matured, right? And that's kind of, I think some of my younger players are a little bit intimidated. It's not to say that they're scared. It's just like it's a natural thing, right? It's you're playing against bigger, older, stronger players who've been in the league for a few years. And say for us, it's a great experience. And I was not worried. So the boys are walking their asses off during the week. This week we had a really good practice last week too, right? The boys want to win games, right? So they're hungry. I think we try to establish that winning culture here again, right, in our group. And you know, the boys coming out to the practice and working on stuff, working on our system, right, on our concepts, and everyone's buying in, everyone's doing their best, and that's the only thing that I can ask, right? And I'm so proud of this group and how we play the games now. And I think it's we have still have to learn for some of the players to play in this league, but I think we are on a very good way.
So Guido corrected me on the score back on November 21st when SFU visited Uvic, a 4-3 loss. The 3-1 score, I believe, was the next game to the Vancouver Island University Mariners. I also noticed some players being absent, such as Jaden Fawchuk and Ben Ruthven. Please elaborate.
So we lost Jaden in the Uvic game in the first intermission. He got a check on an offensive zone on the backboard, and he twisted his knee, so he's out with a knee injury. So it's basically week by week. So we're crossing the finger that he might can get back in the lineup next week, but that's still a question mark. And then Alec Pettingale got injured in the second intermission, in the second period, and against the Uvic. We lost actually two good players when we played in Uvic, right? And that was kind of a little bit challenging to kind of compensate. And it was kind of a very tight game. It's not like they dominated there with the shots too, but we've been in the game like this evening. We had actually very good scoring chances. But losing kind of Hartchuk and Alec, that's two players who've been in the power play. And I think we had a 5-minute power play and we could not score, even 5-on-3, but that's two key players kind of doing the game you're losing, right? It's hard to compensate. And then all of a sudden, our power play was not as effective anymore, right? So that was even a reason against the Uvic team last weekend that we could not pick up the win.
Before the interview, you also mentioned about other players being injured or sick. Who are they?
Yeah, so we lost Ben today, I think in the first period, right? He got a check in the D zone. We watched it on video, so he has probably a high ankle sprain, so he might be out next week too.
Which player is that?
Ben Ruthven.
Okay.
Yeah, Ben got injured today. And then this Kermani is out with a sinus infection. And John, I believe he has a bad cold or a flu. So he didn't practice all week. And we down a few players and goaltenders, right? So Lachlan Abel was in the backup position today. And so he practiced just with two goalies the last week. But that was not a big deal. But yeah, I'm still missing those guys now big time. Yeah.
Now back to the game. How did the Red Leafs overcome a 2-0 deficit against the Uvic Vikes, who badly outshot the Red Leafs even in the first period?
Well, I think, or I mentioned it, so we tried to install that winning culture in our room, right? So we not kind of, you cannot always look at the scoreboard. You know, hockey is how it is, right? Sometimes you get scored on you. Sometimes it's 1-0, 2-0, and sometimes it happens quick. It's start of the game, right? We've been in the game, whatever it was, 3 or 4 minutes. So there's still 55 minutes to play, right? And like I said, for me, I'm not getting too nervous. I know my players. We talked about that we get outshot, and we talked about how we want to start, and kind of, we always kind of starting a little bit slow. So I have to find out what that reason is. I have to sit down a little bit with the players and talk about that. And we have to change, kind of getting a little bit better in the game. We cannot have those slow starts over and over. Say after the first 4 or 5 minutes, we get outshot. We get 18 to 7 shots where we had. I think that's not going to work, right? So, but like I said, it's we have that winning mentality, and the boys just keep going hard. And I know that they play till the end. And I watched the games on Huddle, and then I heard the other people talking about how we play, and they say, well, that's what it is, right? We be playing 60 minutes for, right, from the start till the end. We never give up in any of those games, and that's why I really highly respect on that team and their players, right? They battle hard till the end, and that's always what I ask, right? It's we play 60 minutes and then see what the result is, right? And they're doing the right stuff, and of course, I mean, we win, right? We knew we can shoot, we good around the net, right? They picked up some loose pucks, power play. We talked about the entire week and practice on the power play and PK. I think PK, we have the best in the league right now, and the power play kind of was a little bit in a slump, but I think we tweaked the right stuff. We put the right players on the power play this weekend, and like I said, the special teams was the big difference today, right, compared to Uvic, right? So we had, I think, 3 power plays. We scored 2 times, right? We had PK. We killed the PKs and even scored on PK, so must be different, right? If not, it's a 3-3 game.
Before the offense really got into high gear, where the Red Leafs took control in the second period, one cannot omit Max Fowle's stellar performance once again. Please explain.
Well, this year, the goaltenders we have just, say, at least 4 good goalies, right? Max, Kermani, Kaden, and Abel, right? We have 4 good guys, and right now I'm think that's what the league's saying. So Max and Kermani, they're probably the best goaltender in the league, right? So they keep definitely the team in the game. But like I said, if you watch closely, most of the shots coming from the outside, and that's how we kind of build our system around the goaltenders right now, right? It's with the young players, we know we cannot play say puck possession game at the moment. We have to defend a little bit more, and we talked and trained the last few weeks and months, kind of clocking up the middle, playing inside the dots, keeping games to the outside, building that structure that everyone plays in their zone and is doing their job. And if we can keep the pucks on the outside, and yeah, that shots on net, but we know we have good goaltending, and we're not to worry about that, right? It's not like we're getting out badly, but it's like saying we have to watch closely from where the shots come. And yeah, there's some shots from the slot, but we have players around those players, and you know, we have a goaltender who can make those saves. And in the end, like I said, the most shots coming from the outside, and our goaltender is making the saves all night long. We're not too worried about that. But end of the day, we have to still cut it down, right? We've been talking about it for weeks now. We have to cut down. We cannot have 60 shots over and over. But that's how it is at the moment. And I tell you what, as long as we win game, I'm not too worried about that either.
Finally, what do the BCIHL Red Leafs have to do to win at Logan Lake next Friday, the site of the BCIHL Red Leafs' first win this season?
So we just talked about this in the last intermission today. we have to get better in our battles. Long Lake is not kind of a high-skilled team, but they have some older players, and they, last time we've been up there, they've been battling hard, and it was not an easy game. Even we've been up 4-1, they came back 4-4, and the pit started kind of playing a little bit more the tough style, and we didn't like that too much, but we found a way to win it in OT. We definitely have to look into some battle stuff this week. Our concept, kind of our, say, four-check neutral zone, four-check decent coverage, it's okay. They have to play the same way that they played today. That's key. And I think we have to win battles a little bit more, and that's kind of the main focus, I think, for next week practicing. The practice is kind of getting in those battles a little bit. And if, I think if we win battles more than we in puck position, that means then we can play offense a little bit more than we generating shots.
Actually, there's one more question I'd like to ask.
No problem.
On the BCIHL website, the Red Leafs had red to their game today, but the team were white while UVic were blue.
Yeah.
Clarify. Please clarify.
Yeah, so the last few games, so I was kind of informed that we play red at home and white away, but the coaches from the league, they made the decision it's the opposite, so home white and away red. And so the last few games we played, so even the away games, I just took our white jerseys, and then they said, well, you brought your red ones, you know. Well, it was a kind of a miscommunication, so I didn't get informed that we go on the opposite, that we have white at home and white away. So, but now for the future, we'll stay at this, whether we play white at home and red away. But I tell you what, the players like to play it white more than red.
Thank you for the long interview tonight. Congratulations on the BCIHL Red Leafs 6-3 win over the UVic Vikes. And best of luck at Logan Lake next Friday.
Thank you very much.
Now I'll be playing Gavin Bain's interview right off of my email. Just a minute, please. Sorry, just the computer's not playing too well right now. That should be okay.
Hi, once again, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is November 28th, 2025. I'm now on the north parking lot of Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center, or north front parking lot, where there are multiple BCIHL Red Leafs nearby. But in front of me is...
My name is Gavin Baines.
A forward who scored a beautiful breakaway goal to put the game away in SFU's 6-3 win over the UVic Vikes, despite getting badly outshot 58-29 for their second win against the Vikes this month. First of all, what was said before the game, just before the first game after a 0-2 road trip where the BCIHL Red Leafs dropped a 4-3 decision to the UVic Vikes last Friday?
What was said before that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, before that game, we wanted to stick to our systems. We wanted to make sure the puck got deep, and we stayed in our forecheck. And we know they have some good shooters on that team, so we wanted to clog up the middle and make sure they don't get shots there.
How were you able to overcome the 2-0 deficit in period one to go up 3-2 despite getting outshot?
Yeah, you know, we've been wanting to work on our starts, and that wasn't a very good start, but we know as a team, if we stick to our systems and work hard, that we can beat any team in this league. So it was just a lot of talk on the bench, keep our heads up, and we worked our way out of that deficit.
Tell me about Max Fowle's stellar performance once again.
Yeah, he's been consistently really good for us. I mean, really good is an understatement. He had 60 shots tonight, or 60-something shots, and he's just been an absolute brick wall back there, confident, and, you know, the team feels confident with him back there.
From what I understand, the final shots were 58-29 UVic. However, they had discipline issues despite outplaying the BCIH Red Leafs. How did you take advantage of their penalties?
Yeah, you know, our special teams haven't been the greatest, especially on power play, but they came out and got it done tonight, which was absolutely huge in our win. I think special teams is a big part of this win.
When do you think the momentum shifted towards the BCIH Red Leafs' favor?
Yeah, you know, they were up two, and, you know, the momentum was definitely going their way in the first, and then we slowly picked at it, and I think after that that first period, we felt pretty good after we got our three goals, and then after that, it was, you know, make sure they don't score, keep doing our thing, keep doing what's working, and that was, I think, the momentum changer.
Last but not the least, tell me about your breakaway goal, a shorthanded breakaway in the third period.
Yeah, you know, I was lucky enough to pick off a D-to-D pass on the penalty kill and, you know, kind of made a move on the goalie and ended up scoring and kind of putting the dagger in there to end the game. So, but it was a great team effort all around to get this win.
Now I'd like to delve into your hockey journey. When did you start the game?
I've played hockey since, however, you know, as long as I can remember, I'd say about hockey three. You know, it's been a passion of mine, and I'm happy to keep my career going here at SMU.
When was the first time you made a rep or a travel team?
Yeah, you know, I think I played in Cloverdale. I made a couple of the rep teams through Pee Wee and Bantam, but my first year in midget, I played minor midget for the Valley West Giants, and that was kind of my first year, you know, traveling with the team and getting to be on a bus in a little bit of a more junior environment.
What's the age group for Pee Wee?
No, I'm not sure the age group. It's grades 6 and 7.
About the first travel team you made, what was the age group for that?
That one was just for grade 10s. Yeah, So I would say like 16.
What was the last team you played for before coming to the BCIH Red Leafs?
The last team I played for, I played 3 years with the Richmond Sockeyes, the PJHL.
What year of eligibility are you in with the SFP BCIH Red Leafs?
Yeah, this is my first year playing here. Rookie season, I guess.
For some reason, I thought you were in year two.
No, rookie season.
Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFU BC IHL Red Leafs?
You know, the goal since it started and since the beginning of the season is to get a championship. Coach made that very clear, and we have a group that we know can win, and we just got to keep believing in ourselves and keep working hard throughout the season. I think anything can happen.
Thanks for this impromptu interview. Congratulations on the highlight reel goal to put the game away. A 6-3 win over the UVic Vikes. And best of luck at Logan Lake next Friday.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Here are the current British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League standings. 2 points for a win, with 1 point for an OTL or a shootout loss. Oh, dear. The Vancouver Island University are first at 8-1-1, 17 points. University of Victoria, second, 6-2, 12 points. Then there's a huge drop-off in the point parade. Simon Fraser are third at 3-5, 6 points. Okanagan Lakers, 3-7, 6 points, but Okanagan played 2 games more. So SFU has 2 games in hand. And Logan Lake Miners are last at 1-3. Just a minute, please. Just a minute. My email's just... it just went out for a little bit. Just a minute. And I'll try to bring it back. Sorry about this. Now I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. Sorry for some technical issues, which is a big problem at SFU. On November 25th, the SPS expanded its operations to South Surrey East, roughly east side of Highway 99 to 196th Street, the Surrey-Langley border, about 4 months after initially expanding into the South Surrey West as the SPS assumed all policing responsibilities in South Surrey, District 5, on top of Wally City Centre, District 1, where the SFU Surrey campus resides, in Newton, District 3. On November 26, the SPS provided a news release looking back in their first year as Surrey's police jurisdiction, which occurred on November 29, 2024. Currently, the SPS has 1,099 staff, 608 police officers, and 491 civilian employees. Up to November 26, just a minute, please. The SPS has responded up to November 25th. The SPS responded to over 105,000 calls with the BCRCMP Surrey Provincial Operations Support Unit, which currently provides frontline policing in Guildford District 2 and Cloverdale District 4, responding to another 65,000 calls. In 2025, SPS hired 120 experienced officers along with 43 recruits, created two special units, the Impaired Driving Unit, which took off about 500 drivers from the road, and the Extortion Investigations Team, as extortion-related crimes, including shootings, have particularly hit Surrey hard. But on the same day, according to Tom Zaterek of Surrey Now Leader, the SPS and RCMP actually disagree on when the latter's support will end in Surrey. According to a November 19th press release by Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP Deputy Commissioner, the RCMP will remain in Surrey. The RCMP will remain in Surrey's Guildford and Cloverdale neighborhoods until the RCMP's full withdrawal in November 2026. Brian Sobe, the National Police Federation President and CEO, who represents 20,000 RCMP officers across Canada and around the world, echoed McDonald's press release and added the RCMP staying in Surrey in 2027 is not acceptable as the NPF will oppose any prolonged delay. Lindsay Hupton, the SPS Senior Media Relations Officer, countered that the SPS has been very vocal about the transition continuing to 2027. Hupton added that the BC province is overseeing and signing off transition as milestones are met, thus he was skeptical about the RCMP being able to pull out per the Police Act, as the SPS are not allowed to take over a certain part of policing unless all parties agree on conditions and milestones being met. Brian Sobe, the National Police Federation President and CEO, claimed the Surrey police transition has created anxieties and challenges for the Surrey RCMP members. Now, the RCMP Surrey Provincial Operations Support Unit, which has 300 officers, are looking for certainty in their careers, as Sobe believes when the SPS became the police of jurisdiction on November 29, 2024, a two-year ramp-up would follow, and the RCMP's temporary support will end on November 30th, 2026. If the SPS needs more BCRCMP staff, Brian Sobe feels it's up to the BCRCMP to provide resources. On November 28th, just a minute, please. Sorry. My computer just went away. Now I got it. On November 28th, there was a Surrey press conference involving multiple officials from municipal, provincial, and federal governments, including the BC Premier David Eby, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General Nina Krieger, Federal Safety Minister Gary Anandasenghi, Liberal MP Ruby Sahota, the Federal Secretary of Combating Crime, Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke, and the RCMP Assistant Commissioner John Brewer. The federal government announced a $4 million pledge over the next 4 years for a regional integrated drug enforcement team for police investigations against extortions, drug activity, another $1.5 million into a youth program to work closely with South Asian communities. BC Premier David Eby announced another $1 million split between the federal and provincial governments in supporting crime victims, which will directly go to police, as there have been more than 100 extortion incidents in Delta, Surrey, Abbotsford, and the Canada Border Services Agency has removed three individuals as being part of the BC Extortion Task Force, on top of investigating 78 other individuals, all according to CBC. As of last week, Surrey has 101 extortion files with 44 related shootings, according to Global BC. On November 29th, DSPS celebrated its one-year anniversary of becoming Surrey's police jurisdiction, taking over from the Surrey RCMP, which served Surrey from May 1, 1951 to November 28, 2024, and is now called the RCMP Surrey Provincial Operational Support Unit. Thank you for listening to episode 47 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox.